And we're holding on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. And now that we talked about the things from wine and grapes and whatnot that a Nazir is not allowed to eat, now let's talk about the next thing, which is the cutting of his hair. So the Mishnah starts off, Stam Nazirus Lamed Yoim, regular Nazirus is 30 days, which that already we know from earlier in the Masechta. So the Mishnah is really only mentioning it by way of introduction to the next din. That you have to have a 30-day growth of hair at the end of the Nazirus. So therefore, the Mishnah continues, Gilach, if during those 30 days he shaved, or robbers shaved him, so even though it was completely ba'oinus and he didn't want it at all, nevertheless, the fact is, his hair has been shaved, and right now he doesn't have hair that suitable for shaving at the end of the Nazirus, therefore he loses 30 days, he has to backtrack 30 days. Tosfos, in fact, learns that it doesn't necessarily mean that he always is going to lose 30 days. Let's say, for example, Tosfos says, if he had a Nazirus of 60 days or more, so even as long as the robbers shaved him before the 30th day, before or on the 30th day, no problem, because he's still going to have, from then until the end of his Nazirus, is an additional 30 days. And therefore, there'll be, so only if, for example, so let's say it was a 60-day Nazirus, let's say they shaved him on the 40th day, so then he's going to need, so then he only have 20 days left, so then he's going to need an extra 10 days in order to have enough hair. That's how Tosfos learns. The Rambam learns differently. The Rambam says that you always lose out 30 days as a result of that. In other words, even if it was the Rambam gives an example. Let's say it was an Nazirus of 100 days. So even though on the face of it, let's say they shaved him 20 days into it, on the face of it, what should be the problem? He still has 80 days left to go. That's more than enough time to grow his hair. Nevertheless, the Rambam holds that not, and he still needs a full extra 30 days. And the Rambam says flat out that, in other words, that after 20 days most of his hair was shaved, then he has to wait another 30 days for that hair to grow back, and then he continues the remaining 80 days. Mishnah continues. Nazir shegilach. Now, as far as the nazir, if he shaves, bein bezug, whether he's using a scissors, or Tosfos has a different gear, sort of misparayim, which is another word for scissors, bein batar, or whether with a razor, which actually shaves to the skin, or if he sifts it, which means that he pulled out some of his hair, and Tosfos says even one hair would be enough. So there's a bit of discussion among different Rishonim and Achronim what sifts it means exactly. Does it actually mean pulling out his hair? Later on we have in the Gemara, we're going to bring a Brice that it mentions tolash, which means to pull out, and also sifts. So on the face of it, sifts has to be something slightly different. So it can mean different ways of pulling out the hair. It can mean like he's parting his hair or combing his hair or whatever, and some of it falls out. We're going to talk about In a later Mishnah, we're going to talk about what happens, for example, what is a Nazir allowed to do with his hair? Is he allowed to comb it? Is he allowed to brush it, etc.? We're going to have that later on, what he's allowed to do. We're going to have that in the next Mishnah, on Membeis Amud Aleph, that there are certain things he's allowed to do because Dabar Sheinu Miskaven Mutar, because that way, even if as long as he didn't intend for it to pull out hair, and it's not Psik Reisha that it will, then it's fine. So here, if he sifts, if he pulled out the hair, kol shehu, even if it was only one hair, chayev, then he's chayev malchus, because he's chayev malchus for that. Tosfos later on mentions that he's only going to be chayev if he shaves or pulls out the hair to the root. If he were to, for example, break off part of a hair or cut off part of a hair, he wouldn't be chayev malchus for that, because that's the pasuk uses the expression that he has to tar layavar arishay, that a razor shouldn't pass over his head. A razor implies that it cuts down all the way to the skin. So the Gemara starts a discussion that's going to be relevant to this question about the case when the Nazir shaved in the middle of the Nazirus, and again, when we said you may even have that he didn't even shave himself, but rather, for example, that robbers shaved him. And yeah, you know, you think of, for example, you have the example of Shimshon, where the Plishtim, Zalila put him to sleep, and then she shaved him, and then the Plishtim came and arrested him. Obviously, that wasn't with Shimshon's consent, but still, he would have needed 30 more days. Okay, he was a Nazir Shimshon, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. He has a special kind of Nazirus. He never shaves anyhow, but whatever. The point is that that yes, even if the shaving was done against his will, nevertheless, you still have the same din. So the Gemara says, Iboilahu, the Bnei HaYeshiva had a question. Hi, Mazia, hair. Hagoris HaBachbun is a different girsa. Binsa, which is also hair. Mazia is the word for the hair in general. Binsa is the word for a hair specifically. Anyway, how does it grow? Milatachas Rabbi or Milael? Does the hair grow from the bottom or from the top? Meaning, in other words, so you have, there's a hair on your head or on your body. Is it that it, and over time it gets longer and eventually you cut it. Is it that the bottom of it stays where it is and the top of it continues to grow outward? So the tip of it gets longer and longer, or is it that it's pushing up from the bottom, that's pushing up from the skin and coming out that way? So the Gemara says, "Lamai nafkamina." Well, what's oimelael, or from the top? So the Gemara says, "Lamai nafkamina." What's the practical difference? Why do we need to know that? And the reason is, "Lenozer shall go holistim v'shira by kedei lakuf reishal ikrei." Let's say this nozer was shaved by the listim, by the robbers, but they left over enough hair that you could take the hair and bend it over, and the tip of it would be able to touch the root. In general, in halacha, such a hair is considered long enough that's considered the minimum length of hair in halacha. That's considered hair. We have that, as for example, as far as the din of Shtei Sairus and various other dinim. You have when you have that minimum amount of hair, then that's considered hair. So now the question is, Iyamet milatachas ravi. If you say that hair continues to grow by pushing out from the bottom, then you have a problem. Nizirus hoshakle, because after all, the hair that was supposed to be there for his nizirus has been shaved off. So now you have, in other words, he had made a neder of nizirus at the time. At the time, a certain length of his hair was on his head, and that was going to be kaddish. Now the listim have cut off that part. So now, therefore, as the Mishnah says, he's going to need more time. Again, according to Tosfos, he doesn't always necessarily need 30 extra days. He just has to have enough that there should be a growth of 30 days of hair at the end. According to the Rambam, we said that, no, it's always going to be, he always needs to have an extra 30 days. Anyway, so if that's the case, then yeah, Eli Amak Mil El Rabbi. But if you say the hair keeps on growing from the top, meaning that the root of it stays where it is, and the end of it keeps on getting longer and longer, well then my da'aktish hokoyim. Well then, okay. So what he was maktish is still there because you still have some of the hair is left. So now, therefore, maybe he shouldn't need the extra time. So what is it? So the Gemara says Toshma, well, let's try to bring a proof. And it's interesting, usually in the Gemara Toshma, we're going to bring a proof from a Mishnah, from a Braisa, once in a while from a Pasuk. Here we're going to bring a proof from something from life, from something that you see, that happens all the time. So the Gemara says Toshma, meho in bachaya. You have, for example, consider a live louse, the lice that grow on people's hair. So, you're always going to find it at the base, you're always going to find it at the root of the hair. The word ikva is like the word okev, it means the heel. Tosfos brings a girsa that the word should be ikra, which means the root. In any case, so why is it that you always find the louse at the bottom of the hair? If you say that the hair grows outward by pushing out from the bottom, maybe there you ought to find the lice. You ought to find the louse at the top of the hair because it would move along with the hair. So it says that's not a proof. You could say that the hair does grow by pushing up from the bottom. But the louse is alive after all. It's constantly able to move. So as the hair is getting longer, then pushing out from the bottom, then the louse keeps on going down. It wants to be as close as possible to the scalp. So the Gemara says, okay, well then Toshma Inva Mesa. Well then consider a dead louse, Bereshit Binsa. You also find it on the top of that you find on the top of the hair. The Isak Dadach Mil El Ravi. Now if you say that so a dead one, where will you find it? You'll find it at the tip of the hair. So if you tell me the hair keeps on growing from the tip, the ikva de binsa boi lamekam, well then the dead louse should be, when it was alive, it was at the base, like we said before, so then, it once it's dead, it can't climb up, so then obviously that must mean that the hair was growing from the bottom and pushing outward, and therefore eventually it pushes it, not necessarily all the way to the top, Tosafot says, but the point is, certainly further up than it would have been by the base of the scalp. Again, the Gemara says that's not a proof. Hasanami mishum de less v'chela. On the contrary, you could say because it doesn't have any koyach, it doesn't have any chela means power, doesn't have any power, doesn't have any strength. It's dead. Sarugi sriga v'azil. So therefore it slides down. So maybe you could say maybe at one point it would have been on the top of the hair, but now because it's dead, then it slid down, and therefore you find that at the base of the hair. That doesn't show. So maybe in fact, so you could say either way. You could say it was when it was alive, it was at the bottom of the hair. You could say when it's alive, it keeps on moving down towards the bottom of the hair because that's where it wants to be, near the scalp. And then when it dies, then it gets carried by the hair growing upward from the scalp, and it eventually gets carried to the top. And then not that it slides down toward the base, just the opposite. It slides down towards the tip. So it could be, you could say that, you could say it grows from the bottom and pushes it out, or you could say that the bottom remains where it is, and the top keeps on growing outward, and it slides down towards the end of the hair, because that's hanging downward, so gravity causes it to go like that. So you could say either way. Okay, the Gemara says Tashma mi blurtis de kushiim. Well, consider the blurtis, consider the chuk, the lock of hair that kushiim wear. Now, kushiim might actually be that might be the actual word in the Gemara, so it would mean Ethiopians or black people in general. It might be sort of like the dreadlocks, for example, that certain people wear. It could be instead that the word kushiim is something changed by the censor, and it was really supposed to be goyim or remori or whatever. The Romans and the Greeks particularly had this fashion of wearing a blurtis, of wearing a long shock of hair on their head. So now consider. So what happens? They braid their hair. They braid this lock of hair of theirs, and eventually, what you find is it softens at the bottom. Meaning, in other words, that the part that's closest to the scalp becomes looser. Now, how would it become looser? Obviously because over time the hair is pushing out from the bottom from the scalp. That part that's pushing outward obviously was not part of the braid. So therefore, over time the braid. Therefore, over time. The part that was like this, it was braided very tightly close to the scalp, like dreadlocks or like cornrows or whatever kinds of hairstyles those are. And then over time, that attachment weakens because now you have new hair growing out. The Gemara says again, that's not a proof. Hasam nami, you could answer over there also. I did come to him mishichva de rafia. I did come to him because the braid. Because the braid gets creased when the person lies on it, derafia. So that alone maybe causes the braid to get that alone causes the part of the braid near the scalp to get weaker over time, and therefore and then to get weaker and to get looser. So you could say maybe it is growing from the bottom and pushing up, and that explains it. But you could equally well explain that it means that in fact it is growing from the top, and the reason why the bottom gets looser is because the person sleeps on it. Okay. The Gemara says, Toshma, miskarta, come, let's bring a proof from the red dye that they use to dye animals' hair, the rafi amra, but over time, the wool gets softer and weaker, it gets softer and weaker melatachas from the bottom, from the area closer to the skin of the animal. So the Rosh explains, in other words, that what you do is you have this kind of red dye that they would dye animals with, and then you have the wool that's closer to the body of the animal eventually becomes softer. So not softer really, but like looser. Vitanya, and in fact, this is not only something that we see in what we see in day to day life. This is actually something that we learn in a Braisa. Mishnah, namely that we have by Maisa Behema. What do? How do you mark every tenth animal for Maisa Behema? You take a stick with red paint and you brush it on the animal and you turn the wool red in that area. So now we have, in other words, the Gemara would rather bring a proof from something from Halacha rather than just something that you see in day to day life. So here you have an example. This is Vitanya. This is something that we actually learn in a Braisa. So Ritu, and we have another proof. Kad Savi Savaya Diknahoin, we see when old people dye their beard, so their beard is black and they want to dye their beard white, the other way around, their beard is white and they want to dye it black so they look younger. A Jew, by the way, is not allowed to do that, it says in Shulchan Aruch, because that would be Lo Yobash Gever. A man is not allowed to adorn himself like a woman, and women dye their hair to look younger, so therefore men are not allowed to do that. But you do have Goyim do it. There's actually a story in Bava Metzia where a Goyish slave does that. He's old, he knows nobody is going to want to buy him as a slave anymore, so he dyes his hair black to look younger, and he goes to Rava offering himself for sale, and Rava says, no, if I'm going to have people working in my house, it says in Pirkei Avos, the poor people should be members of your household, meaning that if I'm going to have people working in my household, I'd rather that they be fellow Jews, and that way I'm giving parnosa to fellow Jews. So this guy goes to another one of the chachamim, and the guy did not pay attention to that mission in Pirkei Avos, so he bought him, and then eventually the rest of the end of the story is that he discovered that the slave is old after all and not really fit for work. Anyway, the point is that we see that people sometimes do that. They dye their hair to look younger. So now you see, Gemara says, and eventually you have chavron ikve nimhoin. Eventually, the bottoms of their hairs show white. Now, if the hair was growing from the top, then obviously that wouldn't happen because the bottom would still remain where it was. It would still have the dye on it. The fact that you see that the bottoms now are white is because the hair that hadn't yet grown at the time that you dyed it has now grown out, and that hair, of course, is white. Shmamino latachas rabi. So that shows that the hair grows from the bottom. Good. The Gemara says shmamino. Fine. So that definitively proves it. So therefore, so that answers the question about our nozir who was shaved by listim. So therefore, yes. In other words, the hair that was on his head when he made the neder of nezirus is now gone because now that hair has since grown out. And the listim shaved it off. Therefore, he's going to need his extra 30 days, or always 30 days according to the Rambam, sometimes 30 days according to Tosfos. But whatever the case, he's going to need that. So the Gemara says, "Ve'elah hadatanya." Well, now the question becomes: what about this that we learn in a Braisa? Nazir shel gochul listim, that if a nazir was shaved by robbers, the shiro by kedei lokaf roisha leikrei, and they did leave enough hair that you could bend the tip down to the root. Enes soiser, then the Braisa says he doesn't lose any time. Now that if you're going to say, as we just established, that the hair grows from the bottom pushing outward, lister, then he should be losing time for his nezirus the same as if they shaved all the hair. What's the difference? We said the whole point is we said that now the hair that he was makdish, the hair that he said that I'm going to be a nazir at this time, that hair is gone now since the listim shaved it off. So why is he any better off? So why is he any better off if they left some of the hair closer to the bottom? The answer is you can answer that this Braisa is talking about that when they shaved him is already after Melois, is already after the full amount of time that he was supposed to be the Nazir. We learned before, Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. So therefore, if on the 30th day or later, if on the 31st day before he had a chance to bring his Karbanis, he was shaved, then we're saying that he doesn't necessarily lose, that he doesn't lose any, that, well, he loses a little bit of time, but not that much. Umani Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, that Braisa would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. That Braisa would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. Dama Kol Acha Malos Shiva Soiser. He gave the example of a Nazir who became Tomei, where he says if it was after Malos, if it was after the 30 days, then in fact he doesn't need to lose all of his Nazirus, so even 30 days of it. All he needs to lose is 7 days, which is just the amount of time he needs to become Tahor from Tumas Mes. So about the same. He's not really. He wouldn't be losing any time at all, except for the fact that he can't bring his korbanos when he's tamei. And therefore, practically speaking, he has to wait 7 days. So by the same token, a nazir who was shaved, then if it's after maloy, if it's achar yemei malois, then no problem. He shouldn't have to wait. All he needs to wait is 7 days. And that would even be even if it was shaved completely. Here, where he wasn't even shaved completely. Here, where he was shaved only, and they still left enough hair lokof roish leikroy, then certainly there's no reason to say that he should have to lose 30 days. So we could say, in fact, that this braisa goes according to Rabbi Eliezer. So no proof that the chachamim would completely agree with that. In fact, Tosfos points out that even the Chachamim would agree that for whatever reason he delayed bringing his Korbanos, now is, let's say, his original Mezidus was 30 days, let's say he didn't bring his Korbanos on the 30th or on the 31st, let's say it's already the 32nd day and then he was shaved, then the Chachamim would agree that he doesn't lose any time. And conceivably, then we could have said in the Gemara over here that the Braisa would work according to the Chachamim as well. But then they go on to say that maybe not, because according to the Chachamim, anyway, mitzvah giluach is not ma'akev. The fact that you didn't, that whether you shaved or not at the end is not really ma'akev. So therefore, according to them, maybe not necessarily would the zinim apply. Achronim bring also that the Rambam disagrees with that whole concept. The Rambam would always say that no matter when he was shaved, even if it's long after his Nazirus is over, but he didn't yet bring his Korbanos, nevertheless, he still needs to have 30 days of hair, and therefore he's going to have to start all over again. So the Gemara says, "My time, did Rabbi Eliezer." So why does Rabbi Eliezer say that Acha Malois, all he has to wait is maximum 7 days? Why don't we say that he has to wait 30 days? So Yalef Tiglachas Tara Mitiglachas Tuma, because Rabbi Eliezer learns a case where the person is shaving because he's tahor, meaning his nazirus is over, and he's shaving and bringing his korbanos at the end. We're going to learn it Mitiglachas Tuma. He says we can learn it from the Tiglachas that he does by Tuma. Ma Tiglachas Tuma Shiva. Now over there, all he needs to wait is 7 days, because what happens if he became tamei after Malois, after the time was over? We learned earlier in the Masechta that Rabbi Eliezer says that in that case, he learns from Psukim that in that case, he doesn't lose any days anymore. So after Glachastara, Shiva. So therefore, he says, Tiglachastara, all you need is maximum of 7 days. And in this case, where he wasn't even shaved down to the root, then he may not even need that. V'kimlahu l'rabbanan, because the Chachamim know for a fact, kol Shiva yoimin, that 7 days, asya mazya kadeloko f'rosh alikre, the hair grows enough that now you can bend over the tip and touch the root. So therefore, even if he was shaved all the way down to the scalp, all he would need is 7 days. And here, where we're talking about, he wasn't even shaved down to the scalp, because they left to begin with, the listim were nice enough to leave locker for Rosh Hashanah, then Rabbi Eliezer would say that he doesn't need to wait any extra time at all. He can right away, as long as it was after Malois, as long as it was Acha Malois, as long as it was after the 30 days, then Rabbi Eliezer would say that he doesn't need to wait at all, and he can shave and bring his korbanos right away. But again, the braisa that we said that mentions that point about loko feroi shalikre may only be, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachamim would not necessarily agree with that, and therefore... And according to the Chachamim, you might well say that, well, you might take it in two different ways. You might say, as Tosfos says, that since the Chachamim hold that you don't really need to glachas in order for the Nazirus to be over anyway, fundamentally, according to them, all you need is to bring the korbanos, that the glachas is just part of the mitzvah, but it's not ma'akiv, then according to them, maybe it shouldn't matter whether there's any hair left. And according to the Rambam, then we would say that the fact is, he always needs 30 days growth of hair, and he doesn't have it, and therefore, according to the Chachamim, he's going to need to wait full 30 days, not just, like Rabbi Eliezer says, maximum of 7. Okay. The Mishnah had said, Nazir shegilach ben batar ben bezug, that if a Nazir shaved with a razor or with scissors, and the Mishnah we had it the other way around, actually, first scissors, then the razor, but whatever, or if he sif-sif kol shehu, or if he sif-sif, which said means, according to most of them, mafarsha means some kind of pulling out hair, that kol shehu, even one hair, chayev. So let's talk about that a little bit. The Braisa says, Tanan Abanan, tar, when the Pasuk says a razor, aim the other tar. So you would only know from that, if you only had that word in the Pasuk, then you would say it just means exactly that, a razor. Tolash, what if he pulled out hair? Mirat, or if he removed hair using chemicals. The Mefarish gives a different answer. That's how the Rosh defines Mirat. The Mefarish defines it as they pulled out the hair, including the root. Anyway, sifsif, or he pulled it out by hand, or whatever the various possibilities are on sifsif, kol shehu, any amount, even just one hair. Minayin, how do we know that all of those, are also? Tamad Lema, therefore, the pasuk says, kodesh yi, he should be holy. Gadol pera sar roshay, he should grow the hair of his head long, and therefore, if he's not doing that, then he's over on that mitzvah. He's not being mekayim that mitzvah. Because not, he didn't allow his hair to grow long. Okay, he didn't shave it off with a razor, but nevertheless, he removed it. Here you have also a discussion the way Tosfos says it. It seems to me mashma that even if you removed any amount of the hair, even just a little bit of the tip, then he'd be over on that Esther. Whereas the Rosh would hold only if he didn't leave Kedei Loka for Rosh Le'ikra. If he left that amount, then the Rosh would hold that he's not over like that. And then there's different discussion about what exactly various Rishonim hold on that. So the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia, all that is what Rabbi Yoshia says. Rabbi Yonasan says differently. Tar, since the pasuk says a razor. Eimli ela tar, you would only know from that a razor. Mirat tolash sifsif kol shehu potter, but he would say if he does any of these other things, then he's potter, and he would not actually be chai of malchus, even if he pulled it out all the way to the root, etc. So Gemara asks, well, Ksiv Kodesh Yir, well, according to Rabbi Yonasan, what about the pasuk that says he should be holy and grow his hair long? The answer is because he says that the Rabbi Yonasan would say that those words just mean the memra that comes to tell us, the Gilach Lebatar, that if he were to shave with a razor, Koyimale the Esther Veloisese. It means that if he uses the razor, then he's over on an Esther and a Loisese, but he wouldn't say that if he uses anything other than a razor, that he would be Chayev. They have a similar kind of thing that we're going to talk about later on in the Masechta, actually, as far as, for example, payas and the beard. To what extent is there a chiyuv for other ways that destroy the hair other than a razor? Pulling it out, for example, or using chemicals to destroy it to the root, etc. So here you have the same kind of thing. So Rabbi Yoshia is saying that any way of removing the hair makes him chayiv, and Rabbi Yonasan says only if it's an actual razor. Okay, the Gemara says, Tanya Yiduch, we learn in another Braisa. Tar, when the pasuk says a razor, Ainli Ella Tar, so you would only know from that a razor, Talash Mirat Sifsif Kol Shehu, what if he did any of these other things, pulling out or using chemicals or Sifsif, any amount, Minayin, how do we know that he's over, Tamad Lema Lo Yavar Al Roshay. So here this other braisa learns it in a different way, because the pasuk says, Lo Yavar Al Roshay, it should not pass over his head, which means, in other words, not just the razor that it said before, but anything should not pass over his head, anything that will remove hair. So the second braisa is saying that he's chayav for that as well. The Rosh talks about a couple of possibilities. One of them being that maybe in fact the Mishnah would be only the Mishnah in our Mishnah when it said he's chayav would only be if he shaved completely. Here we'd be talking about if he left Rosh Le'ikroy. So it's not similar to a razor because it didn't cut all the way down to the skin. So then you'd have then you could have Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia discussing that. Okay, so the Braisa continues. Well, from the end, we're going to be adding everything anyway. If we're going to be saying that even though the pasuk mentions tar, we're going to say lo yavar arosha actually means many other things that are not a razor, but nevertheless they're osur and nevertheless he's chayev. So then matam blema tar lo yavar arosha. So why does the pasuk even bother mentioning tar at all? It should just say lo yavar star roshay. The answer is l'fishalay l'manu l'tiglachas achronish yibatar. It's not because we need it as far as the actual issue of the nazir. It's rather to tell us what happens by his final shaving when he's finally finished his nazirus and shaves. What is he shaving with then? The pasuk doesn't say anything then about what he's supposed to remove his hair with. Sheyibatar, that should be with a razor. So what we're going to say is the tar over here is not really telling us about, since we don't need it to teach us about what a nazir is chayev for using on his hair, says this Braisa, because in fact anything that removes his hair completely, he's going to be chayev, then the word tar over here rather is teaching us about, we use it for related point, namely what does he use at the end of his naziros in order to remove his hair. There, there's a mitzvah for him to use tar, to use a razor. And the Braisa continues, Lalomda mitzora. Now, to say that we should learn it from mitzora, which further on it's going to explain that that we see by a mitzora that he uses a razor. So you can't do that. Yeah, so you can't learn from the mitzora. Shane Dunn and Tal Mechomer Lahachmerolov, because you can't learn something that's lighter, something that's easier, from something that's Chomer to be Machmer on him. Meaning, in other words, it's one thing that, so Mitzora is more Chomer, because a Nazir has to shave all of his hair. A Nazir only has to shave the hair on his head. A Mitzora has to shave the hair on the rest of his body also. So maybe when it says by Mitzora that he has to use a razor, Maybe we can't necessarily learn from that to a nazir, which is after all an easier case. So that is why the Braisa says, that's why it needed to say the word tar by a nazir, not to tell us that he's not allowed to shave with a tar, because in fact he's not allowed to shave or to fully remove the hair with anything, but rather to tell us that he uses a tar, a razor, at the end of his nazirus. Rebbe then says, you don't need that. You don't need to learn from the word tar. Harehu ema tar la yavar aroshe ad malois. The pasuk says that a razor shouldn't pass over his head until the completion of the days. Well, in other words, in effect, the Torah is saying, a Torah omra acha malois lo tehe teglachas ala batar. Well, then, in effect, what the pasuk is saying is that once you do reach malois, once you do reach the full end of the time of the naziros, 30 days or whatever it is, then you should use a tar. So it's not even you're learning for you. It's not even in lozet. It's rather if you look at the actual words in the pasuk, you actually find that it's implying that you're supposed to use a tar at the end. So the Gemara asks, "Voksiv tar la yavar aroshay?" What about though? Didn't we say before that the pasuk says a razor shouldn't pass over his head? And we said that from lo yavar aroshay means that all the other ones are also as well. Tosfos points out, Rebbe is apparently only arguing on the drosha about how we learn that the eventual tiglachas, the eventual haircut that he takes at the end of the nazirus, how we know that that's supposed to be with a razor, where before we said that we're doing it as a way of in lozet, Rebbe says you can actually see from the context of the pasuk, but it sounds like other than that, Rebbe agrees with the basic concept that anything else other than a tar is a person is also chayev for using, a nazir is also chayev for using on his head. So now the question then is, so the Mefarish brings two possibilities, two ways of understanding what the question is. One is, how could we say that he's chayev for everything else, and that the word tar is only coming for teglachas achroina, for the final shaving at the end? After all, the pasuk is saying tar lo yavar aroshay, so why are we understanding it to mean the word tar we're taking out of context, and we're saying that it means that it's telling us about the teglachas at the end, and lo yavar aroshay is telling us that all the other things are also to pass over his head? Why don't we just say very simply, the pasuk is telling us a razor is not allowed to pass over his head, and therefore, in other words, he's chayev only for a razor, nothing for something else. So according to that, the question is on the Tanakama. According to the Mefardish's second explanation, the question is on Rebbe, that how can Rebbe say that the issur is only with a razor? Didn't we say before, lo yavar aroshay includes everything else? The two almost opposite ways of learning what the question is. Anyway, the Gemara answers, lavar olav b'shnei lavim. The answer is, you would say the word tar is telling us that a person is over on two lavim. If he uses a razor, then besides lo yavar, he's also over on the special one of using a razor. So he's over on two lavim, and maybe he'd get double malchus for that. And the Rosh talks about if they give him asura for both of them, maybe he'd getting malchus for both of them. It might be similar to the machlokus that we had before with Abaya and Rava about whether he's getting malchus for a lav shebeklolus. We have the lo yavar aroshah is a more general thing. is that it's a more general thing that includes many different things, so therefore maybe he's not getting Malkus for that according to Rava. But according to Abaye, he would be getting Malkus for both. But even according to Rava, we would still say that he's over on two Isurim, one that he used a razor, and one that he in general did, that he allowed something to remove the hair from his head. Okay, so now, the next daf, Be'ez Hashem, we'll talk about more on this topic about what exactly a nozer is chayev for when he shaves his hair, how much has to be shaved, and what he has to use in order to be getting malchus, in order to be over on the lav, and in order to lose the maximum of 30 days of nazirus that we said in the Mishnah. So that'll all be in tomorrow's daf, Be'ez Hashem. Everyone.